Welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94. My name is Mark Chardo from the Murrayland, and I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Vargas-Devon from the Papare. We have got a lot to talk about today because we are previewing Sri Lanka at the World Cup. The T20 Women's World Cup starts in South Africa tomorrow. That's the point of recording this. I don't know when you'll be listening to this. Sri Lanka have got quite a task to get out of that group stage. We looked at the squad last week. Estelle, how are you feeling about the whole thing? Are you excited about it? Are you apprehensive? Are you nervous? A couple of years ago, the conversation was around Sri Lankan women not existing. That they've been playing a reasonable amount of cricket the last few months, right?
Yeah, actually, I think I feel a little more optimistic than I did the last time we spoke about the team. Like you mentioned, we spoke about the squad last week, right? But since then, having watched the warm-ups and also I spoke to Kas Naidu, who is working as a commentator for the games. And just she was telling me about the pitches. And, you know, generally my lazy assessment of South African pitches is, okay, it's going to offer a lot of bounce. It's going to be a lot quicker than what we usually play on. But she was telling me that, you know, just looking at the SA T20 and cricket in the recent past in South Africa, there are some tracks where, you know, it could really suit Sri Lanka's bowling attack. So she was telling me that, like, you know, if the bat, and we spoke about this last week as well, about how the batting really needs to step up. So she was telling me that if the batters can put together like 120, 130, the bowlers are going to really be able to put up a fight on some of those tracks. So I'm feeling a little more optimistic after that conversation.
I'm glad to hear it because Sri Lanka have had success. The women have had success at the Asia Cup recently when they got to the final. Chamri, our captain, our talismanwoman, and top all off, it's her birthday today. Is it today or was it yesterday?
Today
has talked about trying to replicate some of that success, right?
Yeah, actually, she came out with quite a bold statement ahead of the tournament where she said that, you know, Sri Lanka aiming at nothing short of the title, which I guess you have to say, right? If you are going into a tournament of this sort, you're not going to go in there and say that you're looking to lose or you're looking to finish off in the first in the first round. But
do you really think though? Do you think that? Because sometimes some teams, and I remember famously when England won the Rugby World Cup in 2003, they always just said next game, next game, next game, one game at a time. I remember where the men's side would get into all the finals, Sanga and Mahela would just say, next game, next game, next game. I think it's kind of unusual to say you're going there to win it, right? I mean, obviously, because I think it's kind of implied if you turn up there that you're hoping to to win the thing, right? Especially for a full senior member of the ICC. It's not like you're going up there, you know, they're not going up there to make the numbers up. But I don't know. I think it's an interesting psychological thing in my.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I hadn't thought of that. Like you're right a lot. And I think that's probably a diplomatic answer where you say, you know, you're focusing on one game at a time. And like you said, anyone who's going there is obviously they want to win it. But realistically, do they have a chance? That's the question, right? And I felt it was a pretty bold thing to say prior to the tournament. And I'm just thinking back to what Bhanuka Rajapaksa said ahead of the T20 World Cup last year. And he got a lot of criticism for that. And again, in that, I mean, for those who missed it, he said that, you know, when he was asked what his personal goals were for the tournament, he said that he would want to finish as top run scorer or player of the series. Which I felt like, what else can you say, right? What are you going to say when someone asks you that question? So I felt like it's something similar with Chamri, but interesting that, yeah, a lot of teams would have said, you know, we're taking it one game at a time. We want to see how far we can go.
In that interview, they asked the most famous person's number she had in the phone. And she revealed that it was Malinga, and that they messaged each other. It sounded like they messaged each other quite a bit, right? And he'd sent over some encouraging messages. I kind of regret that I'm going to have to ask you this, but how important is it that our legendary men's players associate themselves with the women's game still in Sri Lanka? You know, how much of a boost do you think that is for women's cricket in SL?
I think it's massive. And, you know, what's sad about it is it did seem like they text each other at least semi-regularly because he'd wished her for her birthday. But if only they did that in public, right? Because I feel a lot of the issues are that there is not much visibility for the team. That's why putting them on TV is so important. Where, you know, younger people are seeing them play. So if guys like Kumar Sangakkara, Mahela Jayawardena are able to, you know, talk about them, and not just when they reach a final or, you know, something like that is happening, but consistently. And to be honest, I was quite disappointed even with the senior women's team during the Under-19 World Cup. Not many of them said much. You know, it's not something which they kind of think about and, no, I'm not going to talk about this. Or, you know, it's not a conscious thing. But I think they don't understand how powerful something that they say can be, right? In a circumstance like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, shall we talk about the warm-up games? Because I think there was a result that at the time we weren't overly enthused by, but actually, considering other results that have happened since, I think looks quite good.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sarah Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube, and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
So Estelle, there was a couple of warm-up games. The first one was against Ireland. Sri Lanka won it with not much to spare. They won it on the last ball, right? At the time, I saw that result and I thought, this doesn't really bode well if we're not if we're kind of competitive with Ireland, who are a team that, you know, I've got a lot of respect for, but I don't think many people would have had them down as favourites. I thought, okay, not great. However, Ireland went and beat Australia, who I had down as favourites a couple of days later. So actually, do we need to reassess that Ireland result and actually think maybe as a unit we're probably a lot better than we thought we were going to be, because Australia are the best in the world and Ireland beat them quite convincingly?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I think, first of all, Sri Lanka, what was disappointing in that game that Sri Lanka kind of, you know, Ireland nearly won, was the fact that Sri Lanka got a good total, like by Sri Lankan standards, a good total. They got to 149. And then their bowlers, who I think have some of the lowest economy rates in world cricket right now, over the last couple of years, really struggled to defend that total against Ireland, which was what, at that point, like you said, was quite disappointing. Or, you know, it made you wonder whether what's going to happen with Sri Lanka, because Ireland coming into this tournament is, I think, ranked 10th. So they are the lowest ranked team in the World Cup. But beating Australia after that, of course, it's a warm-up, and I think you can't read too much into it, because obviously the options that Australia would have used would have been different. I think it's different for lower-ranked teams, who I think tend to go into warm-up games trying to get their best players out there and get their best players to spend as much time out in the middle as possible, whereas, you know, the better teams would try to experiment a little bit more. So we have to take that into context, but it's still a massive I think, moment in women's cricket as a whole, just to see the ease with which Ireland was able to chase that total down 160-something against Australia, which even their bench is, I think, far ahead of a lot of other teams. So, I mean, you have to kind of balance everything out. I think with Sri Lanka, to be honest, and this is not even just with the women's team, I think there is a bit of a psychological barrier when they do come up against teams like Australia, England, India, where they haven't really beaten them often. Like if you take a team like India, India has done or achieved a lot more than Sri Lanka has in the recent past. But Sri Lanka have, not regularly, but almost every tour have got like that one win against India, whereas they've never done that against England or Australia, right? So when they do face teams like that, there is, I think, a sort of psychological thing also there, where they are sometimes over-reliant on Chamari, and if Athapattu doesn't get runs, then, you know, the body language and everything is kind of flat out there. So the win that Ireland got against Australia, in many different ways, should encourage Sri Lanka going into that group. And to be honest, right, everyone who's followed these teams can acknowledge that that's a tougher group with South Africa, New Zealand and Australia in there. And Bangladesh, of course, a progressive or a team that's advancing quite quickly now. So you almost have nothing to lose, right? If you're Chamari Athapattu, if you're Team Sri Lanka, you have nothing to lose.
Can we talk about the second warm-up game? Because they played the West Indies on Wednesday. The West Indies made 111 for 6 and Sri Lanka fell 4 short. Getting those big scores, it's the issue, right? That Sri Lanka actually bowled reasonably well. If there's a bit of turn in the pitch, then they're going to be a tricky for any side, I think. But it's not being able to put those runs on the board that is kind of becoming... It's the reason that's stopping us moving to the next level. There's no short-term fix for that, right? Because we know there's no players who are going to hit. You talked about how important Chamari is in the side. Have we just got to hope that that they can kind of get it together, right? I suppose that's, you know, as fans, all we ever have is hope, I suppose.
I mean, like we spoke about this last time as well, right? The batters have to get you runs. You're not going to defend 107 against any of those teams, even Bangladesh, right? It's going to be a game when if you score, 110, maybe 1 in 20 games you win, right, like that. But you're not going to be defending that kind of total very often. So the batters have to get runs. I think it's a bit encouraging to see, you know, people other than Chamari get runs. But at the same time, Chamari is in a really dry spell, I feel. She hasn't really been contributing much, has she?
No, she hasn't made a big score for SL for a while. She didn't have the best BBL. I think you really need to go back to that February tournament since she was last in the runs. The thing is, she's such a talented player. You just know that form can turn around at any moment, right? And you expect it. Me and you both expect it to turn around. The other thing, we should, you know, go back to the Asia Cup. We got to the Asia Cup final without her making a huge amount of runs. You'd still have her because she's an all-rounder as well. So just because she isn't adding a lot of runs doesn't mean she's not worth having in the side. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, let's look at SL's first fixture against South Africa. And also what we expect. I know they've said they're going out to win it, but what would we consider a good tournament?
I'm Jared Kimber and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, a look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
Welcome back. This is Sri Lanka 99.94. We are talking about, we're kind of previewing Sri Lanka at the T20 World Cup, which starts in South Africa. It's the women have got the chance to win the tournament this time around and bring glory to the island. Sri Lanka are in what I would consider the heart of the two groups. They've got to play South Africa, they've got to play Australia, they've got to play New Zealand, they've got to play Bangladesh. We've talked about how Australia have lost one of their warm-up games unexpectedly. Sri Lanka have to play South Africa on the opening day with South Africa as the host nation. You would assume, Estelle, that this is not ideal when actually, you know, Sri Lanka go into this second favourite. However, the South Africa camp's in a bit of disarray, isn't it? Dane van Niekerk, their captain, hasn't made the team because of fitness issues, not being able to complete a 2 kilometre run in their loss of time. I mean, as Sri Lanka fans, we all know that this is... I want to say an issue, but this is a measurement that some boards take. Is this a good time to be playing South Africa, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. Like you, I think there has to be some kind of, surely there is some kind of, you know, detrimental effect, the whole saga before the tournament on the team, right? Because they're coming in with, I won't say new captain, because Sunilu has captained in Van Niekerk's absence, and she is an experienced player as well. So I won't say like in the leadership, but with Marizaan Kaptani's wife in the team, there's got to be, or you'd expect it to naturally be there, right? Some kind of discomfort within the camp. But at the same time, they were brilliant in, I think, the warm-up against England, where they didn't bowl that well, but were brilliant with the bat. So, and at the same time, it's a home World Cup, right? So they're not going to be, I don't think, an easy team to beat, or going to be so far off their game that Sri Lanka would, like, you know, think that they're at the same level. I think Sri Lanka's going to have a really good game. But at the same time, playing them first up in the tournament opener, you've got to kind of, I think, get into South Africa's head, because, you know, they have this reputation as being chokers. They've had this, you know, problem outside with the captain not being picked. There's so much like psychologically going on. Tournament opener, home tournament. Captain is not there, you know, you have to play on those things, I think, going into the game. I don't know if Sri Lanka will do that, because I don't think you really see that kind of gamesmanship in the women's game as much as you do see it in the men's game, like the pitch fiasco in the Border Gavaskar opener. But I think it might
pitch fiasco, that kind of implies that both sides are complaining, but it was only a few select Australian commentators, right? Like, anyway, we're not talking about that.
We should probably get the Indian team's perspective on that. So, like, I mean, I think tournament opener is probably the best time Sri Lanka could have come up against South Africa. If you look at all four teams,
I was going to say that obviously the girls will be wanting to put a good performance in as possible. They might also be frantically checking their phones, because it's the same day as the auction for the Women's Premier League, the Women's IPL.
Actually, the auction has been pushed to 13th, I think.
There you go. Every time I come on, we talk about the auction, you tell me it's been moved. Sorry, I didn't get that memo. So they won't be frantically checking their phones, but there's 15 Sri Lankans in the auction. I think there's each team's allowed to play 5 foreign players.
Five, provided that one of them is from an associate team. So technically, 4 spots open to Sri Lankans.
Yeah, but that's only in the starting lineup, right? So they'll be able to pick. They'll have more foreign stars in the squad. I think last time round, we talked about the women's team. We were talking about there's potentially 2 players who we thought were. We're definitely going to get a close look at. I wonder if actually a few more, if they can start the tournament well, a few more can kind of put themselves forward for it. The other thing I noticed is that compared to the English girls and the Australian girls, the Sri Lankan girls, or women, sorry, have all put themselves in much lower price brackets, and they're much cheaper to bring on than some of the other players, including Charmery, right? She's not in the highest bracket, which I thought was a great idea, because, you know, 9/10 of it is actually getting to play in the tournament, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all 15 had registered at 30 lakhs Indian rupees. I think it's going to be interesting how the teams go about things, because, you know, they've got like seven players, international players per team that they can pick in total. Whether any Sri Lankans make it into those seven is a bit of we don't know, right? But I think the fact that 15 have got shortlisted to the draft itself means that there might be some interest outside those two that we discussed, Chamari Attapattu and Inoka Ranaveera. But at the same time, Sri Lanka do have two games of the World Cup before the draft on the 10th and 12th. But I don't think, if a particular team has their eye on a player, performances in those two games will obviously, you know, help them get a spot. But I don't think they'll pick someone who they were not kind of thinking about that much. So that's I think what's going to be
the thing is, right, you say that, Estelle, and I would kind of agree with you, right, in terms of that. To me, makes what you're saying makes sense. However, the actual franchises weren't allocated till what, about 3 weeks ago? So presumably until about 3 weeks ago, really, they couldn't have, I mean, that there would
have
been some
people. And we don't actually even know the coaching staff, right?
Yeah.
Only Mumbai and Gujarat have announced the coaching staff.
Exactly. So, I mean, at least three of these teams are going to turn up there, and we have no idea who's coaching them. We have no idea who's making the decisions. We have no idea what their backgrounds are. I think, you know, if you work in women's cricket, if you're coaching it, if you're scouting it, if you've got collect data in it, if you're looking at all that stuff, I imagine there's people trying to get hold of you via LinkedIn or Twitter or wherever social media you're on to try and get as much information as possible. Because I feel like there's definitely, there's just not enough information about who the best players in the world are, right? I mean, how often do me and you come on here and go, well, the women played, or there was this tournament and that tournament, we couldn't watch it, we couldn't find the scorecard.
But isn't that the problem with teams other than like the big three? Like if you look at England, Australia, I think they each have more than 25 players in that draft. And they do play the Women's Big Bash. They play the 100. So they kind of get a lot of exposure. I was reading about Tara Norris, I believe the only US player nominated. She plays in the 100, right? And she plays for Charlotte Edwards' side. So possibly Edwards is interested in her. But for the Sri Lankan players, you don't really have that kind of thing, right? Because they don't play any other franchises. Attapattu has been involved in the Big Bash in the past, but she hasn't gotten that many opportunities and hasn't, you know, really had any, you know, memorable tournaments with the team she's played with there. So that's, I think, a huge disadvantage to some of our players, because they do have a step up over some of those other players in terms of conditions, right? It's a lot similar to what we have in Sri Lanka. So that is one area where I feel like that might lead to few people being overlooked.
What do you think is a better, how can I put this? What do you think is a more likely place where to lead to a WPL contract? Is it doing well in the Asia Cup or playing the 100? Because I would suspect actually doing well in the Asia Cup should in theory set you up better for getting into the WPL. But it depends on who the coaches are. As you say, you know, Charlotte Edwards is coming in. She's got her own thoughts and ideas. And we don't know how deep the kind of data and how far into it they'll go into it, right? And coaches generally have a bias for players who've done it for them in the past, right? And that's not criticism.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just...
Yeah. That's fact, right? That's how things work. And the thing is, with the Sri Lankan players, they can't, there's no way they argue it also, right? Because they don't have any other records to show. If you look at the Asia Cup, Inoka Ranavira should be one of the first people picked. But we can't even be certain that she will go in, because India's got plenty of left-arm spinners, a lot of spin bowling options in their domestic circuit, like uncapped players. So to be honest, I'm not even sure if Atapattu will get picked, because unfortunately her whole career she's done so well. Just leading up to this, she's had a terrible run of form. She hasn't really made that much of an impact in any of the games that she's played, right?
If David Warner and Steve Smith can continuously get IPL contracts, then Atapattu deserves a WPL contract.
What works for her, sorry, is that she's done so well in the previous editions, right? The exhibition editions. So I'm not saying she shouldn't be picked. Please don't come for me, but I don't know. We don't know, right?
I want them all to be picked. Anyway, let's go back to the World Cup. We're obviously going to do a lot more shows in it. On the assumption that they don't win it. Obviously, I should also say I will be hysterical if they win it. I'd be so happy. I'll run around Trafalgar Square or something with a
strike. I might be extremely disappointed because I didn't apply for accreditation to go.
If they get through to the next round, maybe you can, if they get to semifinals,
visa.
Whatever.
I live in Sri Lanka, Mark. Visa doesn't come in a day or two.
For South Africa, maybe. You never know. Stranger things have happened. They might be able to expedite it if the story develops. You never know. I have faith. I believe in the Rainbow Nation. Mm-hmm. If in a worst case, Estelle, I will go for you. I have no idea if I need a visa or not. I probably do, because it'd be for work things. So I need to get some sort of work permit. And I have no idea if it will come in time. But if you need me to go, I'm available to go to the tropical climes of South Africa. It's currently about minus 10. It's not minus 10. It's about minus 1 degree or something outside in London at the moment. I will happily take that flight to South Africa if you need me to. Trust me. But we'll obviously be very excited if they win, is the point. But if they don't win, what would get you excited? Is it getting out of the group? Is it just a couple of wins in the group? What should our kind of acceptable target be?
Well, I would be thrilled if Sri Lanka can do what Ireland did and beat Australia. I love Australia. Australia's my number two team. If you have listened to this podcast, you would know that.
Yeah.
But I would love that. That would be immense, I think, for Sri Lanka cricket. But that does seem like a fever dream at this point. I'd take a win against South Africa in that opener. There's no better time to cause an upset, right?
Exactly. And I think if we got that early win, then I think anything's possible at that stage, right? Because the one thing I do know about all Sri Lankan sides is they want to run on confidence. And if we can get an early win, then I think all bets are off. I mean, we got to the Asia Cup final. As we always say, you always say, just get to the next stage. You never know what will happen. Mm-hmm. Just get to the next stage. Yeah. You never know what will happen. Anything can happen. Anyway, Estelle, let's leave it there. Of course, we'll be back with all the updates from the Women's World Cup as it develops. And hopefully we'll be able to update you on Sri Lanka's progress for a few weeks yet as they get all the way to the final and hopefully win it. But who knows? Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day your way.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry. Evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.